Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. And we've got an interesting show for you tonight. We're doing our annual Spring Garden Show, and we're going to be talking about some of the things that you want to be doing with your garden. So, we want to invite you to look at, you know, whether you have a backyard or you have a patio or a container or a box planter, a window planter, or just a little space in the kitchen window. All of those things could be used for your garden. So I just wanted to make sure that you were aware of that, and we're going to talk about that quite extensively today. So and we also want to, I don't know if we wanted to get into Donald Sterling. That was a little upsetting, to say the least, that in this day and age that people still think the way they think, but it's not so much a surprise as it is to see somebody of that kind of prominence still having that kind of backward thinking. But we'll take a look at some of those things tonight as we explore gardening. And gardening has a lot of attributes that really support it and make it fun and interesting and so forth. So we'll be getting into all of those things. But let's start off with the declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert there's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are, oh my goodness. Excuse me, I'm just having a little, slight little brain space. I was doing a declaration for a memory. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity. Possibility of being. So we declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children. Responsible for. Stand for our men, women, and children. Responsible responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Today is the April 27th, 2014. Moment of silence, please. Alrighty. So, as I said, we've got an interesting show for you today. We're going to be talking a little bit about the garden. I really do want to spend a moment, so maybe at the back end of the show, we'll talk a little bit about the Donald Sterling, the owner of the Clippers, and what he said. As some of you know, I'm a basketball fan, so it's pretty shocking to hear what he said, and how he said it, and so forth. And you know, it's just surprising and shocking. Anyway, garden. What do you want to do with your garden? So let's start with a backyard scenario, and then we'll go to the other scenarios as well. So the first thing that you want to do is you want to look at what I recommend highly, garden, what your soil may need. Now, anytime that you grow anything, be it flowers or vegetables or fruits, fruit trees and all that. What you want to do is you want to make sure that you have the proper nutrients in the ground. So one of the things that I do is I spread lime. And you can buy that at any of the garden centers, nurseries, any of the hardware stores would have it available as well. And so, so you put down some lime. And what I like to do is I like to turn the soil up. I think this is very important to do, is you turn up the soil, and what you do is you provide some additional nutrients. And so I what I do with it is I mix in some manure. I practice an organic garden, so I try to not put any of the Miracle-Gro or any of the growing enhancement type products. So I just use cow manure, and I mix it into the soil, and I let it sit for about 2 weeks, at least 1 week, maybe 2 weeks. So that's what I do. Now, if you had a container or you had window box or whatever you're using, you want to renew the dirt, and you want to use, and I prefer garden soil. So if I'm going to use anything, I'm going to use garden soil, because if you are using potting soil, it's a little light and it doesn't hold the moisture very well. And I think that's especially for vegetables, you know, like your tomatoes and your herbs, your sage and rosemary and thyme. They prefer a thicker moisture, wetter soil. So those are things that. So I would replace the soil from those pots and from those windowsill, and I would. I put in just a little bit manure. I wouldn't use a lot. And so normally what I do is I'll buy a 40-pound bag, and I have a lot size of, maybe 25 by 30 feet. And so of that, there's cement in it, so it's not even all a lot. And what I do is the established beds, I have raspberries and blueberries and blackberries and strawberries, and I have a particular spot that they're in. And so I'll put it on top of the ground and turn up the soil just a little bit. Where I don't have anything planted, I'll go a little deeper and I'll try and go down maybe 6, maybe even 8 inches to really turn up the soil and turn that around. And you want to look for worms. If you have worms, that's very good because they're great for the soil. Worms are excellent for the soil because they enrich the soil. So they eat what they eat. They eat and excrete the soil, and in so doing, they're enriching the soil. So you want to have worms. What you don't want to have is snails, and that's another problem. That they will eat up your vegetables and plants. So you want to keep them out of your garden. One of the natural ways of doing that is pine needles. Of course, trying to get pine needles, it's kind of late in the season. If you had a tree, a Christmas tree, and you let it dry and use those pine needles and then circled your garden, you could then prevent them from getting into your garden. But however, whoever's in your garden already would be able to get to your plant, so you can pick them out. I happen to have a land turtle, so that is my snail eater. So prior to getting a turtle, I used to kind of destroy them or throw them in my neighbor's yard who wasn't planting or somewhere else, you know, get rid of them some kind of way. But the best way now for me is, you know, I just give them to my turtle. So that's what happens. That's what I do. So it's effective use. The turtle gets food, and I get rid of them. So keep the ecology of the community intact, of my community garden. Well, my personal garden, that's that I call my community. Anyway, so those are the things that I would look at in terms of getting your garden ready. Now, some people start the preparation of their garden in the fall by putting the soil and letting it rot so that, you know, some people actually, I know up in Canada and Ottawa, they use a process where all their organic matter, they actually have a separate, they separate it, and that you can use as compost. Now, there's some very good compost systems that you can have, you know, the barrel systems where you turn it every couple of weeks you turn it, and that helps. You can also dig a hole and plant and cover it with some dirt. One of the things that I'm going to try this year that I haven't tried before, I think that's going to be pretty interesting, is going to the fish market and all of the guts and the scales and all of that gook that comes up from the cleaning of the fish, I'm going to put in the garden. I've done that in the past. I've done some on a smaller scale, but I'm actually going to do that as part of my nutrition building. And the other thing that I've been doing is I've been crushing shells, clam shells. If you eat clams and oysters and what have you, you crush the shells and you can put that back into the ground. I actually saw that at one of the gardens out in California. So I was like, oh, that's a great idea. And now that I have my my shucker, clam shucker, I will go get my own clams, clean them, eat them, and keep the shells because I'm going to crush them and put them in the garden. So I started that this year as well. I've got a couple new ideas of replenishing the garden and replenishing the nutrients, because from year to year, your garden does does take care of that. Now, if you've got a backyard garden, you've got some things that will come back, and you'll have some things that will die off. So you have, so for example, if you've got collard greens or kale, they should come back regardless of the winter. If you've got sturdy enough plants, they should be able to sustain through the winter and come back for you. Also, if you've got scallion or shallots, it's a form of onions, and they will grow throughout the winter or certainly won't be killed. The other is your garlic. Your garlic will actually seed in the fall. You'll have some small plants coming up, and they will come springtime, you'll see them. They'll be 2 or 3 inches. Chives comes back. Rosemary will come back if the winter isn't too bad. This past winter was very, very tough. And rosemaries did not do well in this winter. And so so one of the things that, so I was talking about the things that come back. So again, your fruits, you know, your berries, sage, your small leaf thyme, that big leaf thyme will not come out. You have to bring that in. That will definitely die a horrible death if you leave it out in the winter. So that you have to bring into the house. Small leaf thyme will come back, but it'll only come back for 2 years. So the third year, so what you do, my mom showed me a little trick, is what you do is you bury some of it, the top of it, and then that ends up rooting. And then that root will last 2 years. So you can continuously do that. You could actually keep your small leaf thyme grown in your garden. Oregano, I've got Italian oregano, and that comes back every year. And the what's the other thing I'm thinking about? The garlic, I said. Of course, your mints. So your mints will come back, and you have to be careful with your mints because they get very, very aggressive, as does the raspberry. So this year I had to actually clear out, and so I gave away some raspberry plants to a couple of my neighbors. And my strawberry patch seems to be coming up good. The thing about strawberries, though, when you grow your own, the first batch comes up nice and big, and then you have to give them a lot of water. And they'll bear for you throughout the whole summer, but they won't be as big as the first batch. So the first batch is actually nice and cool, and so soaking up a lot of water. But your blueberries and raspberries, your raspberries will bear twice. So they'll bear in the early June, and then they'll bear again maybe about September, late August, September. So you get to, if the branch is fully grown. Now, some people cut them back every year. If you cut them back every year, you only get one. But if you allow the stalks to be there, they tend to, they're already big. They come back, and you get a more abundant crop. Now, the other thing is that you'll see that the stalks will live for 2 years, and then those on bare so you can cut those like right now you'll see flattened leaves are the ones that are alive. The ones that are not, you can just cut those. So, but you have to wait till they are starting to bear some leaves. So those are the things that you're beginning to look at and prepare. Everybody likes tomatoes. Secret of tomatoes. There is a secret. The secret is if you throw out rotten tomatoes, or again, I happen to have a turtle, land turtle, so I give him tomatoes, and by giving him tomatoes in his bed, when I turn his bed back into the soil and get him new soil in the spring, that's usually a good way to get lots of tomatoes. Now, the thing about that is that you don't get the tomatoes as early as if you had, tomato plants. Tomato plants seem to be so expensive these days that I just, I end up doing pretty well, and my tomatoes are usually a little late, so I'll begin to get them late August, September, whereas most people will begin to get theirs July, about a month ahead of me, because I'm virtually taking them up from seeds. Now, the best way to do that is if you want to start putting your seeds in your house, if you've got a little sunny spot, and you can do this, and you've got enough space, you start to let your seeds germinate in the house, and then when they're a couple inches tall, then you transfer them outside. So it's much more effective, and you can start earlier. The other thing you can do is you can do like a little greenhouse, which is we used for a lot of years, had an old fridge, the fridge crispers when they were metal. So you use the crisper, you put some plastic over the top of it, and it acts as a greenhouse. So what will happen is you'll see the condensation at the top, and that would actually help it and keep it warmer and keep it moist. And again, of course, with the soil before you plant in there, you give it some fresh soil, you give it a little manure, mix it in, and then you put the seeds in and you cover it up, and you let them, cover it and cover the sides of it. So you want to seal it, so you want to do like maybe like a rubber band or tight cord, but you want to seal it off so that no air can get into it, so that air just heats up in the day from the sun. That's another way to germinate your seeds, because the thing that's interesting is that year after year plants are getting expensive. Plants are getting very, very expensive. I was looking the other day, and a rosemary, a little small little rosemary, which is early, which is now you can get rosemary and it'll survive because it is hardy. As I said, sometimes it'll, if the winter isn't too bad, it'll survive. But they wanted $5 for a small plant. So, you as a gardener, you want to do certain things to reduce the costs that you have. And, the other conversation is, why are you growing a garden? Well, cost of food is very expensive these days. And it's something to, that you can reduce your budget. I prefer to grow my own because of the nutritional value, because I know what's going in it. I don't have to worry about it. Don't have to wonder if the higher price for organic is really organic. And that's money that I don't have to spend. I do a lot of garlic. Shallots is what I was thinking about earlier, but I think I mispronounced. which is a form of onions. And so those are some of the things that that I have have grown in the garden and utilized, you know, tomatoes, my berries, my strawberries, my raspberries, my blueberries, and of course I can use the oregano and the thyme. And any I only eat fish now, as of 2.5 years now. Actually, no, it's a little longer than that. No, it'll be 3 years this August, this Ramadan, and so those are things that I use. And let me tell you, there's nothing like the garlic from your garden, or the thyme, or the oregano. It makes things tastier, crisper, and just more flavorful. So it just really brings out the flavor. When you can cut it and put it in your pot, nothing like it. We've got a caller. Go ahead. You're live on the air.
Hi, this is Patricia. This is Sheila in Chicago.
Oh, hey, Sheila. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. And yourself?
Oh, good to hear from you. Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Can't complain. My garden is starting to come into play. I'm still doing a little weeding and stuff, but I could see the remnants of life is coming back.
And that's a good thing, especially with the winter we had. However, as far as gardening is concerned, that was a great winter.
Yeah. Oh, well, say some more about that for our listeners. So why would you say that?
It was a great winter because there was enough snow, there was enough constant cold, freezing cold for the earth, so the earth didn't warm and heave and get cold again and heave and get cold again, and the items that come up early, for instance, crocuses and things like that that come up in the snow, they didn't have to get confused in the spring flowers. It was enough, plenty of moisture, plenty of time for them to stay in the ground and come out, and I'm sure we're going to have a fabulous spring. I believe that the flowers are going to be larger and the blooms are going to be larger, and these are the perennials that have been waiting for spring to break just like we have. Going to be a fabulous spring here in Chicago because of the winter that we had. It's been quite a few years since we had a winter like that.
This is
even
true. This is true. My daffodils came up and they were brilliant and big, as you just said. And my tulips are coming up now. They call them periwinkles, but I heard that they're actually not. But they're a little purple flower. They're coming up as well. So I've got a few of the spring flowers that are bearing and are looking quite beautiful. So I'm excited. I'm very, very excited. I'm excited at the amount of moisture and how wet the soil was from all of the snow. We had a snowstorm maybe a couple weeks ago, and the daffodils were already, you could see them poking through. So it
mm-hmm.
was they've gotten quite a bit of soil. So what I was saying is just, you know, the preparing of the garden, and again, one of the things that you brought to mind is the need for understanding and knowing your area. So New York City right now is a good space for planting and some of the hardier things. We still our temperature is still going down to the 40s, and you know, averaging in a day around the 50s, so that you've got like your rosemary, or if you're going to be transplanting some raspberry bushes and what have you, it's a good time to kind of get them in.
Absolutely.
And get them set.
Absolutely. It's still too cold, and those temperatures are, for the listeners, those are nighttime temperatures. The temperature needs to be consistently 50 or above at nighttime for you to really start your planting. But this, because we had such a severe winter, the planting time is being pushed back a week or so, and so you have more time to do your cleanup. If there's an area that maybe you decided, this year I'm going to plant in this area, and it's never been planted before, this is a time that you can start to weed it out, get the, if it's rocky soil, you can get the rocks out, till it a little bit, turn the earth over. If it's a small little area, just take a shovel and just dig down deep and stir up the dirt and be prepared. So when there is the last frost, which generally is around May 15th in this particular zone, then you'll know you're ready to plant. You don't have to rake leaves. All that's done. And, of course, now we're getting the rain, so did a little lightning and thundering a little bit today, and it's still cloudy, so they're predicting more rain every day, a little bit of rain. And once you work the soil and prepare it, that rain will just make it prime. It'll be so wonderful. And then, too, if you have an area that you've never planted before, you may want to do a soil testing. You can purchase soil testers and garden and nursery stores or Home Depots or places like that. And you can also contact your local university extension service, and they will give you tips. You can go online and get the information on that. Every state has an extension service for their major university, like we do University of Illinois. We have several branches here. And they'll give you lots of information about planting, about roses and ground covers and just about anything that you're interested in planting, whether it's annuals or perennials. And sometimes they might have some little workshops and things. And, of course, the Master Gardener program is available in every state, too. So this is a wonderful time to be able to just contemplate and look around, look at your areas, look at where how much sun an area gets or how much shade. If you make a purchase and it says sunny, you really want to make sure you have about 6 hours of sunlight for that particular plant. And if you want to do seeds, you can put seeds in little paper cups of dirt and get some nice potting soil and put them in the garage until they're sprouted and ready for this last frost. After that, the middle of May or so in Chicago, and in the other areas, of course, in the lower states, you can plant a lot sooner, probably now, in areas close to Canada.
I've got some friends in Florida, and so they've already started doing their major planting. But as you were about to say, Canada, not yet. I know I've got some friends up in Rochester, and I was surprised. You know, you don't think a couple hours difference will make such a difference. But I went up for a Mother's Day, and I bought a rose. You know, I was going to plant a rose bush, and it was too early. It was about, they wanted another another month before you would plant that up in Rochester.
Right.
So it's very important that you know your region and know what's plantable when, you know, so because even though we're still in New York State or in Illinois or what have you, different sections of the state have different planting seasons. So you have to be very aware of what that is. And again, your local nurseries, can consult. Virginia, for example, is another area that is that actually you can plant earlier than New York, for example. And again, if you're in New Jersey, depending on if you're how far south you are or how far north you are, makes a difference as well. But again, consult your local establishments. Are there any good online sites that you use? I know I have a couple that I just kind of took a look up. Are there any particular sites that you recommend that you've used before online?
Well, there's a couple that give you a monthly, like a little blog. Garden Dirt is one, and I'm trying to think of another one that I use more. But anything that you're interested in, you can just surf, type it in. And any seed packet in the stores has a zone map on the back of it. It will tell you when's the best time to plant for your area. There's always a map of the United States, and there'll be numbers that will tell you what zone. So any seed packets, even if you go to Walgreens, Kmart, they all sell seeds. And the seed packet back gives you planting instruction. It'll tell you the best time to plant it. And they'll usually, most all of them, have a little map with different colors designating the zones. So it's very simple, very easy to find out what's good for your area. And it'll also say what's as far as sunny, shade, or there may be one that's partial. It may have a little sunburst and half of it is dark and half of it is white. And that means that it can be in partial sun or partial shade. So those are some, easy things to, as far as information to get. But we were talking about the spring and the spring flowers. And do you have a long spring garden or just a short one? Because I used to have a very long season of spring flowers because it's my favorite time for flowers. So I wanted to extend it. So do you have early tulips and late tulips or what?
No, I actually, I have the daffodils and then the tulips and then I have the lilies that come up. So I have them over a period of time. So they bear, every couple of weeks or so. So I haven't really done the early and the late tulips because I mostly use my garden for vegetables. How my house is situated, I have a backyard, then I have what I call a front yard where I have. So I have some rose bushes in the backyard, and I have some a lilac tree in the back, or lilac bush. And then one, two, three roses in the back, some mini carnation-type roses, and then the traditional pink roses. And then in front of the house, I have, some traditional roses, and I have the lilies, and I have, oh, my goodness, I always get the name of it, philodendron.
Okay.
That bears in June. So I have I have one of those, and then I have what they call the century plants. I have a couple of those.
Oh,
that,
wow.
I have two of those, and that's so that's the front neighbor, you know, next to the staircase. And then, of course, we have the little piece that's actually part of the city that's on the other side of the sidewalk. So I kind of got a rude awakening this this fall because they came along, dug up my yard, dug up that piece, and planted a tree.
Well, you know, I was looking at a magazine. It's called Chicagoland, Gardening Magazine, and it was an article about a man that owns a nursery in Chicago, and where he lives are three, like, islands. They're parkways, and they're actually so beautiful. Permission from the city of Chicago to plant, and he said, even if they do come and tear it up after 10 years or whatever, he said, it's worth doing.
Mm-hmm,
he's had
mm-hmm.
it there for approximately 8 years, the three different areas, and they're fully mature, and they're just absolutely gorgeous. He has even some edible things, like I think some kind of little miniature orange or something like that, and some little berry things. Mostly, you know, they're all perennials, and so it's just absolutely breathtaking to see. But if you have a parkway or something that is belongs to your town, if you really, really want to do it, it's so much fun. And like he said in his article, it's worth doing, if, even if it's there for just 10 years and then they come and dig it up and plant a tree, as you said.
Well, it wasn't so much, I just didn't know what they were doing. And had I known, I'd have moved some of the bulbs I had and some of the other, because I have some lilies and I have some irises planted there and some other things. Because again, what I try to do is have something that's in the front of the house. I try to have something daring at some point in time. So I have mums. That, of course, are going to bloom in the September, October time frame, and I have the tulips and the other, the spring flowers, you know, spring and then midsummer and then fall. So I try to have something blooming. So I like the fact that they have trees, that they planted trees, because it will make the neighborhood better. When I was a young boy growing up in this neighborhood, we had perfect shade because we had these huge trees that covered the middle of the street. So we actually had complete shade. And then over the years, for whatever reason, either a disease or what have you, the trees were cut down, and we have one big tree that's still remaining. So Mayor Bloomberg, on his way out, decided that was something that he was going to make sure that happened, and they planted. The goal was to plant, I think, a million trees. In New York City. So,
well, that's good for your air. You can have a lot more oxygen now.
Absolutely. Which we need. Because, you know, the thing is that the environment is so interrelated. And the fact that you've got the trees. See, when I go up to New Hampshire, and you see all of the trees and these big, huge trees all over the place. And you can you know, you get a sense of the oxygen. You can you can actually almost taste the air quality difference because of all of the trees and all the oxygen that's there. So it does make a difference. It makes a huge difference. And the whole
and then now
cycle.
You have an opportunity to do a lot of shade plants.
Yes. So I mean, I think that the thing for me is, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about the garden and the benefits of the gardening as a way of meditating, as a way of being out in nature. It's something that's very powerful just to watch things grow. You know, it actually reminds me of the our body and how adaptable our body is and how adaptable the earth is and what it's able to nurture and do with a little coaxing and a little weeding, we can bear fruits that we can eat and flowers that we can certainly smell and fragrance our house and our area. So it's a wonderful pastime, and it's also of benefit in our pocket when we're growing vegetables for the summer. Because we can eat. So
you were talking about the herbs and that you use during cooking different items and how spicing up different dishes makes such a big difference. And to just go out in your backyard is just so fantastic. And the best is to go and look in the spice aisle in your grocery stores and see the prices that you have to pay for prime spices. And the fact that you can just grow a little sage in your backyard, near your door, and when it's time to fix that delicious turkey and dressing, you can go out and get some sage fresh and put it in there. And there's nothing, as you said before, there's nothing like a fresh vegetable or a fresh herb from your garden. And when you go in that kitchen and you get that, someone walks in and smells, what's that delicious smell, you know, and you can smile and say, oh, I just picked some herbs out of my garden and I'm cooking with my rosemary or my sage or my mint. And it's fabulous. And then you can always share.
One of the things that I'm looking forward to is my mint. So what I do is I'll go out and I'll pull some mint, boil it up, and then put a little honey or sugar or maple syrup in there, and then have some nice cool mint tea. And I tell you, that is one of the most refreshing things that I can do for myself in the summertime. And you know exactly what's in it. You're not worrying about what any additives or any preservatives or whatever. This is all fresh and refreshing.
And you can make it.
I don't do sodas, so you know, I haven't done sodas in years, and probably since high school actually. And so for me, I'll have some different. I have couple different varieties. I have spearmint, peppermint, lemon balm, and apple mint. So I have all of those variations in the garden. So sometimes I mix them up, sometimes I keep them separate, and you know, I have a couple of different concoctions in there. So I do a lot of different things with them, and again, it really is about nurturing yourself and taking care of your body. You know, we're all very much health conscious. We want to be able to do what we can. And for the listeners, if you'd like to jump in or ask a question, press 1 and we'll bring you in. Okay, I see somebody. This looks like Conrad. And I want to just remind you that you don't have to have a backyard. You can have a container. You can have a window, a planter. They're all very various opportunities to grow anything from tomatoes to herbs to collard greens, kale, as I mentioned earlier, garlic. I grow my own garlic, and I think it's much, much more powerful than the garlic that's commercially grown. Now, it's not as big, but it's much more potent.
Right, and don't leave out the scallions.
The scallion, that's right, and chives.
They're mm-hmm. very easy to grow, and a good soil, they'll come back.
They'll come back from year to year, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Conrad. You're live on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, Glenn.
Good evening.
And everybody else on the call.
How
are you? I got a couple of questions. I'm like,
sure.
I'm one of those I'll try this kind of gardener. I'm not really a good, I don't feel that I'm a seasoned gardener, but I'm like open to learn. And so, three things. One is that when I grow my greens, I notice, like I do collard greens and I do kale. And I notice those white bugs,
mm-hmm.
it's like little fine bugs tend to get on them. I don't know what to do to get rid of them or control them. That's one thing. And also cilantro,
mm-hmm.
when I grow it grows tall, but then at some point it just stops. And so I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. And can I grow the cilantro indoors and outdoors? And the third one is, what are good perennials that give color?
Okay.
You a mouthful. I gave you a mouthful.
well, for the white bugs, some people say soapy water. What do you say? What do you do out of Chicago?
Well, they're very common. That's just part of it. Every vegetable or plant has its own little pest. and so you're going to run into that. Some people dust them. There is a dust. If you want to do soap, use ivory liquid, the original ivory dishwashing liquid. Just put a couple of drops in water, take a gallon of jug, and just put a little bit in the water, just enough. So when you rub your finger and your thumb together, it's slick.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to, it doesn't have to be sudsy as if you were washing dishes or something. Just mm-hmm. ivory soap is about the mildest that you can use on plants. You can mm-hmm. use them on house plants to keep insects off of your house plants. But when you do spray, make sure you spray not just the tops of the leaves, but the underneath the leaves, because a lot of times they're hiding underneath.
Right.
So make sure you do both. And if it rains, then reapply. But,
how often should I apply?
I would say to just do it until you don't see them.
Okay.
For one thing, the soapy water, they can't attach to the leaves.
Ah.
So if you do it this week and in a couple of weeks you see them again, just spray it again. But just enough soap so that when you rub your fingers together, it's slick. That way they can't grab hold. And that's just for just about any type of little mm-hmm. test like that. Now, for the cilantro, I'm not, I've never planted it. I always buy it fresh out of the store. I've never, because I just started using cilantro about maybe 2 years ago, and I've never planted it. But don't feel that you have to be an expert when you're planting. Plant what you like, what you eat. Plant those
right.
things. And every now and then, try, experiment a little bit. Get order some catalogs for the winter time. Look through them, see the new items, and you'll see something interesting that you may want to try that's good for your area.
And
what
I
was your
try,
third question?
Well, let me just jump on the cilantro. Try snipping a little of it, not the whole thing, but snipping the top of it and using it, and let it grow back. So that may be part of it. I've grown cilantro. I didn't have that issue. The other thing I was going to ask you is what do you put down fertilizer and lime and such in your garden from year to year?
No.
Okay, so that may be one of the things that you would look to do. We were talking about that earlier in the show, and one of the things that I do is I'll mix in some manure every year, and I'll throw down some lime from the year. Maybe I'll skip a year. So I don't put down a lot, and it depends on how big the area is, but you want to infuse the soil when you turn it over. And I usually throw a little manure and then dig up the soil and turn it over and let it sit for at least 2 weeks. So I try to do that very early, like right about now, before I actually start the plant.
Mm.
And that helps. And again, and there's a lot of things you can do. I put eggshells
mm-hmm.
in the ground, so I can
okay.
you know, crumble them up and put them in there. I started this year. I got a shucker, and so I buy the clams from my seafood place, and so I keep the shells, and I crush the shells and put them in the yard as well. So all of those things help to replenish the soil. So you want to make sure that when you're growing stuff from year to year, that you put back some nutrients into the soil. So that may help.
Yeah, I was always concerned about, you know, wanting to do it organically, you know, and I know fertilizer and all that kind of stuff, but I don't want any chemicals in the food I'm going to be eating. And
I only use manure. I only use cow manure.
Cow manure.
Okay. Yeah, I don't use any of the Miracle-Grow or anything like that. I just you can get dehydrated manure from the nurseries. And I think it's maybe $2 or $3 for a 40-pound bag. A bag usually lasts me maybe I'll put some down when I turn over the soil, and then when I'm planting, I might throw a little in the hole when I'm doing actually my planting. So that bag will last me for 2 seasons for my area. So it depends on your area, you know, like that. And that's organic, because what I was using was Miracle-Grow at one point in time, and somebody said, you know, that stuff has got growth hormone in it.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. then my garden ain't organic. You know,
right.
And so, right. And so I kind of went back to the natural, the cow manure.
And you can also use mushroom base too. They have different types of fertilizers that you can get that are plant-based. And mushroom, if you have a small area, mushrooms are expensive, but if you have a small area, you won't be using that much, and it'll really enrich your soil. That's why I was talking earlier about doing a soil test to make sure you have the proper nutrients in your soil. And from year to year, you can replenish the nutrients by adding some fertilizer like the manure and or the mushroom. And there's, you can go to your nursery and just check around and see what's available. And if there's any neighbors that you have that you admire their yard, their garden, mm-hmm. their flowers, their vegetables, mm-hmm. ask them, because we love to talk about our gardens.
I know that's right.
and you'll probably come home
with some things.
Right. Exactly. I was just about to say, because people, one of my neighbors asked me, oh, that's a lovely iris. Can I, you know, and so I dug up one of those, because she didn't have that color, and I gave it to my, you know, so you kind of pass things around and kind of share, because sometimes you're looking to thin out that section anyway. So, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to throw it away anyway, so might as well give it to somebody who's going to use it.
Right. I just want to get a little clarity on the mushrooms. I just want to get clarity on the mushrooms. Is that like a certain kind of mushrooms or fresh mushrooms? Like, I'm not sure what
you mean. Well, it's bad, just like the manure and other fertilizers. It just happens to be mushroom-based instead of
mushroom-based, okay.
You know, some other. But like I said, it's expensive, but if you just have a very small area,
yeah.
It's not like you need to take care of acreage.
Right, no.
So it would be well worth your while, depending on how much enrichment you need to add to your soil. There's other types of amendments, and what state are you in?
New Jersey.
Just about every area has books on that particular area.
Right.
They'll have native plants of Illinois, and then they'll have different Midwestern type books about what you can plant in the Midwest. So look in maybe Amazon, check your library, check your community center, your extension service, and see what kind of information you can get, because it'll be specifically to your area.
Got it. Thank you.
What was your third question?
Well, before the third question, someone had recommended, you know, for the white bugs, and it is soap, but they recommended peppermint soap. The two of you guys, would that be acceptable, or just the ivory soap is better?
Do you think that would be too strong, Glenn, or no? Since you have mints in your yard.
Yeah, I would think so, unless you – peppermint soap is kind of strong. But, again, if you dilute it enough, I guess, you know, it can make a difference. Because I'm thinking that they're using peppermint because of the scent also. To shoo away the what's the flower? There's a flower that's actually very good as a pesticide.
Well, there's two that I'm aware of, and that's lavender plants and chrysanthemum.
Chrysanthemums, right, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you're planting those in that area? Yeah, the third one was what perennial flowers give, you know, good color? Because I just noticed that I've been noticing that a lot of perennials are green.
Well, right about now, it would be azaleas starting to bloom now, and they're low growing. They're very they come in a fuchsia that is very bright pink. It's dark pink, and that's a very pretty little bush that comes up.
Oh, they're lovely. They're lovely.
And they ask, like, what time, like, with how the whole season, or?
No, just in the spring.
Okay.
Just the spring, yeah. And then now the crocus, what you can do if you want a long spring season is to get some early, very early tulips. They're bright colored, but they're very short. They're only a few inches tall, but they'll come up first. Then there's, and it will tell you on the bag of bulbs, it'll say early spring or mid-spring or late spring. If you didn't plant any bulbs, tulip bulbs or spring bulbs last fall, you can do the, when it's time to plant in your area, you can plant the late tulips. And they'll come up this year. And then in the fall, you can plant some other, you know, some earlier
bulbs.
Spring bulbs. But the late ones, they're much taller. They're a couple of feet tall stem, and they can be a couple of feet tall, and very pretty blooms. But they're very late in the spring season.
Mm-hmm.
And they come in yellows, reds. And combinations of it,
mm-hmm.
so some really nice colors.
Great.
And don't forget your daffodils. Your daffodils, they come in yellow, and then they have the two-tone ones, which are kind of like a pale off-white with a yellow center. So you can get different combinations of them. And again, those are the early spring perennials that you can plant. You can plant lilies, irises that'll bear a little later. And I was talking a little earlier about how you can plant the different ones so that you have something blooming throughout the whole summer.
Mm.
And if
all the way,
if you'd like
all the way
to do
to your
really
months.
Simple. If you'd like to do a really simple planting, just make a big circle, dig it out, and hold up all the different bulbs and just drop them. And wherever they land, cover them up. And you'll have a lovely spring bulb garden. And also with the daffodils, you might see one that says daffodils, and you might see something that says narcissus. They're just about the same. But put together, there's such so many varieties of colors, so many color combinations,
mm-hmm.
as Glenn was saying, that you'll really be surprised at the outcome.
Well, this is the last, is actually in vein of perennial. What about perennials that last, like, from spring to, you know, the whole summer season?
Well, there are some that there's some lilies. There are some lilies, and there are some irises. If it says rebloom, that means it'll bloom and then it'll go dormant and then it'll bloom again. So look for the ones. They're tall, and they'll say rebloom, and that's the variety that blooms twice.
And you said, what is the type of flower?
The iris.
Iris, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then there are the little short, the pansies, they're short, and they will be blooming in the spring, but they can bloom in the spring and the fall. They can bloom twice, too, if they have the right kind of environment.
Mm, I don't like pansies.
Okay, then. Those are my little ladies. I think they're
adorable.
They
look
they have
too
the
delicate
faces.
For me.
Yeah, they've got these little faces, and they're like, hi, little ladies. But then they had the nerve to grow some that don't have faces. It's like, why would you do that?
But the suggestion of going around and talking to your neighbors and see, especially if they've got a great garden, you can get some great ideas of stuff that will grow in your area. So, I mean, you know, you don't have to try and invent the wheel You could do some research, but talk to your neighbors and ask them about the stuff that you like, and they can probably give you some recommendations about what grows best in that particular area.
Cool. So what
very
is our D-A-H-L-I, the Dahlia?
D-A-H-L-I-A.
Dahlia. Because I was in last year, I bought them from Costco, but I never got a chance to plant them.
Mm-hmm.
When is a good time to plant them?
Well, in the early summer, I would say, and those are a little bit of work. You'll have to dig them up in the fall and replant them the next year after they bloom.
Oh, they're not perennial.
Well,
they are perennial, but you can't keep them in the ground.
Check your area and see if they can stay in the ground.
Okay.
Maybe. I'm in Chicago, and in Chicago, a lot of people dig them up. Cannas, C-A-N-N-A, a lot of people dig those up. But then there are some people that leave them in the ground, and it depends on where they are. This one gentleman, he has from the weather, so they on the west side of his home, and I mean the east side of his home, so they get a lot of sun and warmth, and they're protected a little bit by being close to the house.
Okay.
You're going to do fine. It's going to be wonderful. Don't feel like it's going to be so much work, like I was saying about the bulbs. You know, dig a hole,
big round circle,
and drop them.
Yeah, that's good, but I'm not going to be digging up. I know I'm not. That's why I'm working on trying to have more perennial,
Well, once you do it, you don't have to do it again.
Right.
Exactly.
What you were just saying about with these. Thing, depending on your areas, but, you know, where some people dig them up and put them back. I know I'm not going to do that. So I'm not even going to mess with
that. Those are particularly, there's only maybe two or three of them that you'd probably have to do that for. Again, if you check with your neighbors, they can tell you which ones and the easiest maintenance ones.
That's really good.
Yeah, because you don't have to invent the wheel.
Right. I'm near the ocean, so there's a lot of sand around here, you know, and I'm across the street from a lake, you know, so, you know, there's special conditions here that would be different than if I was in Manhattan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, this is the end of the show for tonight, and just want to thank you all for joining us, and for our listeners, hope you got some good information around your gardening and gardening tips, and we'll have another one midsummer just to kind of check in and see how you're doing, see where you are in your growth and development of your garden and your flower beds. And this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we come to you every Sunday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and call the number is 646-716-9827, and certainly check out our website at www.blacksummit.org. We're going to Belize, in Central America. This is going to be our annual event, so we've got some information there, and be sure to check out our Summit shares and prerequisites are listed also on the website. And join us because we've got a social website, so it's an opportunity for you to interact with some of the folks who've attended and some of the folks who haven't. They just like the conversation. So with that, thank you for joining us, and tell your friends and your family, and we look forward to having you at some of our future events. Good night. God bless. Peace and blessings.